Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This 2021 season is full of high rollers with deep pockets who will let it ride. Football 21, a game of blackjack.
Here is the kick. It's got the distance. It's got the distance, and it is good!
Will the future Hall of Famers still be aces?
Rodgers in the shotgun, takes the snap, lofts it over the right side. Devontae, over the shoulder, catch, got it!
Can fresh face upstarts beat the house?
Murray flushed out of the pocket, being chased. He tucks and he heads to the corner, and he's into the end zone for the touchdown.
Which of the college football contenders will be dealt a stiff hand?
The trick play, it's a house call for Michigan. Touchdown on the Transcontinental.
For the 21 season, we're doubling down.
This is starting to become very, very real.
It's Sunday Morning Football with your host, D.A., only on CBS Sports Radio.
And a happy Sunday morning to you, everybody. Thanks so much for joining us. We come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios when you need cash out of your home and a simple way to get it, Rocket can. It's the final regular season edition of Sunday Morning Football. Everything to get you ready for Week 18 of the NFL. Joining us coming up in 20 minutes, how about this? One of the great pass rushers of his generation, a member of the All-Decade team of the 2000s, played in two Super Bowls with the Indianapolis Colts and took home a Vince Lombardi trophy after the 2006 season. The great Dwight Freeney is going to join us here on the show. We'll talk to him about today's challenge for the Colts, beating a Jaguars team they're huge favorites against, but they've been unable to win in Jacksonville and a number of years. We'll talk to him about the postseason chances of his Indianapolis Colts. Also coming up this morning on the show, excessive celebration. We have an FCS championship to talk about from yesterday. And later on in the show, Larry Hartstein. We've got our Vegas virtuoso looking at things from a Desert Sharps perspective in today's NFL. Baker Mayfield. Could he come back with the Cleveland Browns? The Jaguars need a new head coach. The Titans are looking for a one seed. And the Cowboys coming off a victory yesterday where the offense did whatever it wanted. It's all coming up this morning right here on Sunday Morning Football. There are so many ways you can listen to the show. We remind you that there are hundreds of affiliates nationwide and north of the border on all of these wonderful CBS Sports Radio affiliates. Also on SiriusXM, channel 158, you could listen to us. You could also keep us with you wherever you go today as you're running out, perhaps chasing some errands, getting set for the day of football, running the kids around, doing some shopping. Have us on in your phone, on your phone, by using the Odyssey app, or you can listen to us on the CBS Sports app. And you can have us on around the house as well. Just tell your smart speaker to play CBS Sports Radio. Well, yesterday in the early game, AFC West matchup in Denver, the Broncos had nothing to play for. Their season was over. The Chiefs, however, trying to apply pressure on the Titans. Kansas City needed a win yesterday to stay in the hunt for the number one seed and the only bye in the AFC. With a win yesterday, they would force the Titans to have to win today against the Houston Texans to lock up that number one seed. And early on, give the Broncos credit. In fact, for the entire game, they had nothing to play for yesterday, and yet Denver came after Patrick Mahomes, got off the field in a couple of important third downs. Overall, played pretty solid football yesterday and was driving late in the game to potentially take the lead and seize control and upset a Chiefs team that was favored by 11 points going into yesterday's game. Midway through the fourth quarter, Broncos inside the red zone, already leading 21-20. In fact, they're inside the 10. If they can score on this possession, it's going to be a tough one for the Chiefs. It would put them down by 8 or maybe even 9 points. And the Chiefs defense, which had been an afterthought in their last two Super Bowl runs behind Mahomes, that dynamic offense, it was the Chiefs defense that was called upon yet again and delivered yet again for the 2021 version of the Chiefs. Let's start things off with your Sunday Gunslinger.
In football's Wild West, he shoots from the hip.
We need men like him to make towns safe for decent people.
DA is the Sunday Gunslinger.
When you have to shoot, shoot, don't talk.
All right, let's do it.
Again, Broncos already leading by a point, 21-20. They're at the 8-yard line of the Chiefs, midway through the fourth quarter, knocking on the door. Another touchdown here will be a tough hill for the Chiefs to climb. It's second down and 2 yards. Broncos can get a first down without getting a touchdown and then set themselves up to maybe drain even more clock. And yet, the Chiefs defense rose to the occasion. Here's the turning point of yesterday's game.
Lock is... No, the ball's out! The ball is out and picked up by the Chiefs! Taking off is Melvin Ingram! They're chasing Ingram! He's at midfield! No, it's Dorian! It's at Nick Bolton! Nick Bolton at the 20! 10! 5! Touchdown! Kansas City on a defensive score! Melvin Ingram knocked the ball out from Melvin Gordon the third! And it was picked up by Nick Bolton, the rookie linebacker!
Results of the play is a
and it will go
by the defense
as a 92-yard fumble return.
That was a game changer. I was hoping that he wouldn't stumble, right? So those guys don't get a chance to run that far that fast very often. And he ran like a stallion. I mean, he took off and looked like a running back there.
That was a big play. I mean, that was a big play by a big-time player and Nick, and then Melvin making a heck of a play to force that thing loose. And so I said earlier, but that's why we brought Melvin over here. I mean, to make plays like that.
That was Patrick Mahomes talking about his defense. That was Andy Reid as well, and that was the great Mitch Holthus, the voice of the Chiefs on Chiefs Radio Network. Melvin Ingram came over to the Chiefs defense midway through this season and helped completely turn around a Chiefs campaign that very early on seemed like it was flickering. The offense wasn't working. Mahomes was clearly trying to do too much. The defense wasn't able to stop anybody. In fact, the first month of the season, the Chiefs' defense was historically one of the worst that we've ever seen. Wasn't only Ingram. It was guys getting healthy. Steve Spagnuolo adjusting the defense. The pass rush turning on. But the Chiefs' defense changed not because Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill did much different. It was about the defense keeping the Chiefs in games and allowing the leash for the Chiefs offense to then figure out its issues, become more disciplined, become more deliberate, run the football more, become more patient. And that's how the Chiefs have run to 12-6 and still have a shot of the one seed today. If the Chiefs get back to a Super Bowl, it is about this defense. As you saw yesterday, the Chiefs offense is still capable of big plays. They still have big weapons. Kelce and Hill, etc., are still extraordinarily dynamic. Mecole Hardman had over 100 yards yesterday. Byron Pringle has come on as of late. But at the end of the day, the Chiefs have been defined this season by their defense. And unless you were paying attention of how just awful the year was to begin, you might think that it's just once again Mahomes and company tearing the cover off of stadiums with their offensive fireworks. Not the case. It happened again yesterday, and it needed to happen. The Chiefs had to have that defensive play in the scoop and score that flipped everything. An interesting dynamic going into the playoffs Patrick Mahomes has never played a road playoff game. How amazing is that? 3 years of the postseason, they've been the one seed each and every time. They have not had to go on the road. If the Titans win today, the Chiefs would at least have to go on the road for an AFC title game should the Titans get that far. Plenty of steps to go, but the Chiefs' defense, Spagnuolo, Ingram, and the rest of those guys have made a huge difference. And that's why the Chiefs are where they are at, and it happened again yesterday. The Jacksonville Jaguars are in the market for a new head coach, and one interesting name that has popped up this week is Bill O'Brien. Oh, say it ain't so. Jaguars fans are showing up today in clown suits because they're so upset with their GM Trent Baalke and the organization keeping Baalke around. You really want to sell them on Bill O'Brien?
Two right, one left. Shotgun for Trevor Lawrence. Four-man front for the Broncos. Trevor drops, fires toward the end zone. That ball is going to be caught for the touchdown. Marvin Jones Jr. for the score, and Jacksonville strikes first.
It's been a great experience. It's been awesome. I have a lot of great kids to coach. They're hardworking. They love football. Great teammates. The coaching staff here, you know, led by Coach Saban, is one of the best coaching staffs I've ever been a part of. And that says a lot because I've been a part of a lot of good coaching staffs. I've been fortunate that way. And it's just been fun. It's been a lot of fun to coach a guy like Bryce and the rest of the guys on offense, work with the offensive staff. I can't say enough about this program. And, you know, I've said it time and time again, you know, how grateful I am to have this opportunity to be here and to try to do my part to help this team win.
That play-by-play called Jaguars Radio, that Bill O'Brien sound clip coming ahead of the national championship game. Bill O'Brien is offensive coordinator for the Alabama Crimson Tide, who, of course, tomorrow night will take on Georgia in the national championship game. Here's the deal. Bill O'Brien as a head coach actually was relatively successful in Houston. Of course, they never made any dramatic runs to a Super Bowl or an AFC championship game, but they were pretty consistently competitive and won that AFC South. The issue is, not that you would give Bill O'Brien personnel control, because that's when things really went south in Houston. That was obviously a debacle. It's just that for Jaguars fans right now, they've been shoveled a bunch of BS for a long time and a bunch of bad football. And this past season with Urban Meyer, what you had was an uber-aggressive coach with a huge ego that shunned people, was polarizing, and pushed people away. He was not a unifier. You had a head coach who very obviously felt like he could do it his way, that was the only way, and didn't care about bringing people into the equation. Sound like somebody I'm talking about? That was Bill O'Brien, who immediately upon taking over that job in Houston pushed people out of the organization, said it's going to be my way or no way. He was not a unifier. He was a divider. He felt like he was the king of the castle. So that type of dynamic is not going to work again. And that's why if I'm the Jaguars, I definitely avoid going down that road again. There are other more inspired, I think, options at head coach. I don't think you can sell a fan base on another harsh, aggressive, I'll show you, I'll prove you type of head coach, who especially the last time we saw him on the sidelines was flaming out spectacularly in Houston. And finally, speaking of the Alabama Tide, they are heading into tomorrow night's national championship game against the Georgia Bulldogs. In my estimation, with the biggest challenge Nick Saban has perhaps ever faced in a national championship game.
Bryce has tons of time, steps back, looks long, throws. Jameson Williams behind the defense. He's got it. Touchdown, Alabama! Touchdown, Alabama! And Jameson then goes over towards the student section for Alabama and lets them take their pictures. 55 yards.
It's going to be a tremendous challenge for us to play against, you know, I think, one of the best teams or the best team in the country in terms of consistency and performance and how they've played all year long. Georgia's got a really good team. They've got great balance on offense, defense, special teams. They've got really good specialists. So this is a really, really good all-around team.
Let me take you through the Tide's national championship games over the last decade. That, by the way, was Eli Gold from Learfield, and of course Nick Saban talking about taking on this Georgia team. Let's go back to 2011. Remember, Alabama had lost to LSU in the Battle of the Field Goals regular season, had the rematch of the national championship game, and did end up beating the Tigers that day because so few people wanted to see that national championship replayed or that matchup replayed in the title game. We got ourselves the college football playoff. The next year in 2012, they demolished Notre Dame 42-14. In 2015, they beat Clemson in that dramatic game as Deshaun Watson tried, but Nick Saban had to go for the onside kick 45-40. 2016, they lost to Clemson and Deshaun Watson in that thriller. 2017 was the Tua game where the second half came in and threw the dart to Devontae Smith, touchdown, walk-off win. 2018, lost to Clemson in the blowout. Last year, beat Ohio State 52-24. I think this is his greatest challenge ever in a national championship game, Nick Saban, because when you go down through it, they were far better than Notre Dame in 2012. Clemson was just a year away from finally getting there when they beat him 45-40 and then lost to him the next year. They got trounced by Clemson a couple of years ago. Last year, no fans in the stands the entire season, so a bunch of neutral site games basically without fans in attendance, and they were much better than Ohio State. When they beat Georgia, excellent game, elite game, but again, a Bulldogs program that had just started to taste that upper echelon of success under Kirby Smart. And the first time, that 2011 championship, they had already beaten LSU or lost to LSU in the regular season and could beat them in the title game. Now they're being asked to do it twice. You've got to beat Georgia twice, okay, within a month. That's a huge challenge. Secondly, Georgia, at least defensively, is historically great no matter what we saw in the SEC title game. So in terms of one unit, it's the greatest unit Alabama's probably ever faced in the national championship game. And Georgia being the one seed or the number one team of the country for so much of the season is perhaps the best opponent overall that Bama's ever faced under Saban in a championship game. So I think if it's not the toughest challenge of Saban's career to beat the same team and an elite team and a team in your conference and a team that's been in the playoffs recently a second time in a month, it's the biggest challenge in a decade. It's the biggest challenge in a decade to do it, which is why it's so rare to see Alabama as an underdog, and they are tomorrow. The books do have Georgia as a slight favorite in this game. When we come back here on the show, Dwight Freeney was one of the best pass rushers, certainly of his generation, a potential future Pro Football Hall of Famer and a Super Bowl champion with the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have come on in the second half of this season, running the football behind Jonathan Taylor, a stout defense as well. If they beat the Jaguars today, which they are 15-point favorites, they would clinch themselves a playoff spot. Let's talk to Dwight Freeney about this year's Colts and his Tony Dungy, Peyton Manning championship Colts years coming up here next. It's D.A. Damon Amendolara, Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio.
NFL action begins next Sunday with the NFL Today, followed by a full slate of regional games. You'll say, you saw it on CBS Sports.
It's Sunday Morning Football with D.A.
Welcome back to CBS Sports Radio. Damon Amendolara, DA with you here on Sunday Morning Football. Getting set for the final weekend of the NFL's regular season, and the Indianapolis Colts are on the precipice of going back to the playoffs. They've got a challenge today with the Jacksonville Jaguars, a win, and they are in. Joining us this morning here on the show is a Indianapolis Colts great. He was a Super Bowl champion with them, a three-time first-team All-Pro, and a seven-time Pro Bowler, as well as a member of the All-Decade team of the 2000s. One of the best sack artists of his generation. Joining us here on the show is Dwight Freeney. Dwight, good morning. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
I'm doing tremendous. Thanks so much. And, you know, I was at Syracuse when you were there. I called a couple of games for your teams and your games when I was on student radio, including the epic Michael Vick mano a mano duel where you were chasing Vick all over the Carrier Dome all night long. And boy, that was one of the most fun games I've ever been to. You and I have spoken about that briefly before, but boy, that was one hell of a duel you guys had that day.
Oh, man. I mean, who are you telling? You know, that I always say Mike didn't have a chance because that offensive tackle, it's all on him, man. And he might still be in his stance today, the way I was flying around the corner. I don't know what happened to me that game, but I was just, you know, going like from 0 to 100 in like a split second. And Mike didn't have a chance. Unfortunately, we lost the game anyway, so...
Yeah, but I tell you, those were the days when the Carrier Dome was packed. It was loud. There was 50,000 people inside that place. It was hot without air conditioning. And the keys, everybody held up their keys and rattled them on third downs. And man, that was one loud, hot place to play football, wasn't it?
No, I mean, there's no place like it in my mind. You know, the closest stadium to that probably was the RCA Dome in Indianapolis, all right? But it was just close. I don't think it could get louder because that whole building was complete cement. So when you start yelling, it was bouncing off all types of walls, and, you know, maybe the seating wasn't pretty comfortable there. It's probably hard plastic, right? But yeah, it was good for us players because that noise, man, it was so hard to hear if you're right standing next to a guy.
Yeah, if it wasn't hard plastic seats, you were in the aluminum bleachers. It was not comfortable, but it was loud in those days. Dwight Freedy joining us here on the show. So you get to the Indianapolis Colts in 2002, and off the bat, you guys are making the postseason, but you lose in the playoffs in 0-2 to the Jets, 41-0. And by this point in time, Peyton had been there a couple of years, and he still had not won a playoff game. Going into your second season, 0-3. Do you remember having some pressure on the team to finally break through and get a playoff win?
Well, not really, to be quite honest. You know, I was a baby. 2002 was my first experience in the NFL, and I made the playoffs the very first year I came into the league. You know, I didn't know the history, didn't feel the history, didn't feel the pressure of what those players prior to me was going through as far as the playoffs are concerned. All right, so, you know, for me, it was like, hey, first year, unfortunately, we got knocked out, and we got knocked out bad by the Jets. I still hear the J-E-T-S, Jets, Jets, Jets in my head, in my dreams as a nightmare sometimes, okay? And so the next year, you know, I wouldn't say it was more pressure. I think as players, you already put the maximum amount of pressure on you, or at least I did, all right? So it was always Super Bowl or bust. I didn't care. You know, it was just, you're always trying to get to the championship game, and that's that.
You got the win to break through in 0-3, and then another win at Arrowhead against the Chiefs. A crazy offensive game that day where there was only one change of possession. You guys got Priest Holmes on a fumble, and that was it. There was no punts in that game. How crazy was that? But you came out with a victory. That was a great Chiefs offense.
No, absolutely. It really was. And we always knew that Priest Holmes, he was going to run to the sideline. And that's what we knew. And I had to go against Willie Rofe, you know, Hall of Fame offensive tackle. So I knew, you know, look, I had my work cut out for me. We as a defense had our work cut out for us. You know, we were still a baby defense. We had a whole bunch of first and second year guys, and we're still trying to get that Tony Dungy type of scheme, you know, I guess solidified, you know. So for us, you know, it was tough. But thank God we had Peyton and Marvin and Edgerrin and those guys on the other side to keep those points going on the other side.
Yeah, 38-31, you guys get out of Arrowhead with a W. Go to the AFC Championship game, lose to the Patriots. Dwight Freeney joining us here on Sunday Morning Football. This will be the first of two losses back-to-back years against the Patriots, and then you finally get them again in 2006, but you get them at the RCA Dome in the AFC Championship game. And in that Super Bowl run, it must have been amazing that it felt like you guys had to exercise some type of Patriots demons, but you got them in your house, and you were down early, but then everything flipped going into the first half. What are your favorite memories from that AFC title game?
Well, I think obviously it would be the actual, you know, victory, you know, when that last interception, Marlon Jackson picking off the ball. And just the eruption of the crowd and the emotions that go through you as players. You know, now to this point in 2006, you know, we've been to the playoffs, you know, repeatedly now. And we lost last 2005, I would say, probably was our best team. This is crazy enough. You know, we were loaded and we lose in the first round to the Pittsburgh Steelers. So for us, you know, it was kind of like emotional when we finally did what we needed to do to get to the big one. And I've said this, and I know a lot of other players have said the same, that feeling of when we beat the Patriots in that AFC championship game was like we won the Super Bowl. It was, because we knew once we're there, there is no, nothing's going to stop us. And Chicago definitely was not going to stop us. Our Achilles heel was the Patriots, and we finally got through them.
That 0-6 run that you guys had, your defense stepped up in a huge way. Everybody always remembers those Colts teams, obviously, for Peyton and Marvin and Wayne and Edgerrin. But in the first round, you guys completely shut down Larry Johnson of the Chiefs, 23-8. Second round, it's all field goals that day against a very good Ravens team with Steve McNair at quarterback, 15-6. That AFC title game was back and forth, 38-34. But then in the Super Bowl, you guys completely shut down Rex Grossman of the Bears as well. Did that give you a lot of pride knowing that when you guys did finally break through for a Super Bowl championship, the defense was a huge part of that run?
No, absolutely. I think, you know, when you're a player out there, right, and you're sitting there, you take tremendous pride in what you do. You know, and you hear a lot, you know, noise and people talk about, oh, well, you know, it's all about the offense. It's all about Peyton. It's all about – and as a defensive player, you know, you kind of feel inside of a way about that, you know. And we do know as a group that we didn't have things together the way we would hoped. But we do know, we did know, is that the only way we're going to win this thing – is by the defense coming together and playing, you know, Colt defense like we know we could play. All right? It didn't matter how much the offense scored. It's about defense stopping that opposing offense from scoring points. And, you know, we did that. You know, we went against Larry Johnson, who was, you know, rushing. He almost rushed for 2,000 yards or, you know, that year. They had the best rushing, you know, attack in the league, and we shut those guys down like 50 to 60 yards rushing total. All right. So we knew we had it in us. It's just about going out there and executing the way that we know we could.
After Tony Dungy walked away, Jim Caldwell took over the organization. You guys got back to a Super Bowl, did not win. That was the game against the Saints, and Caldwell was there for 3 years. He obviously had some good wins there and so two playoff seasons, went to Detroit and had a couple playoff seasons as well. And now his name gets bandied about a little bit. The Jaguars job is open now. Do you think Jim Caldwell is deserving of another chance as a head coach?
Oh, absolutely. I think he's more deserving than any other coaches that are out there. I mean, Jim, first of all, Jim should have never gotten fired from the Colts after the 2-14 year that he had. Jim, you know, that year, Peyton was hurt that entire year. We didn't have an off season prior to that year, right? So now you didn't have OTAs. You didn't have any off season because of the strike, right? So now you're going into a season where you couldn't even prepare for life after Peyton. And the way our offense was designed, it was designed through him. You know, it's a little bit different in other organizations. You know, they kind of like, you know, you could put another player in and they can still be kind of successful doing what they do. But for us as the Indianapolis Colts, we gave Peyton so much control over what is happening in that game. When he goes down, it's going to take months for us to get another game plan going and get things happening. And our defense wasn't designed for a lot of turnovers, interceptions, because we weren't that aggressively blitzing. So that being said, Caldwell gets fired after that year. Fast forward, he goes to Detroit, turns around that entire organization, Detroit playoffs never were mentioned years prior to him, and it's been years after him, and they still not even thinking about or smelling the playoffs. That guy turned around that organization, and they got rid of him, thinking that the grass is greener on the other side. All right? So, Jacksonville, here we go. I don't know if that's the place that he really wants to go. You know, don't know. But I do know he is a guy who go out there and change the culture of a team and get things turned around.
I like that point of that 2012 season without Peyton, or that 2011 season. You're right. That lockout wiped out the entire offseason. Combine that with losing Peyton for the entire year. And, of course, the team's going to go 2-14. So how can you blame that on Jim Caldwell? It's a really good point. Dwight Freeney joins us here on the show. You are eligible for the Hall of Fame next year. So the finalists for this year are up, and we're talking about them. Are you excited to be included in the discussions of the ballot next year?
No, absolutely. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, I've done what I could have done when I was playing. I did all I could do, right? And, you know, God willing, you know, there are people who make these decisions. They recognize that to that level, right? To where as though they want to put you, you know, in the Hall of Fame forever. But if it doesn't happen this year, next year, year after, you know, I've done what I could do. I can't go back and fix anything. I can't go back and make more plays. Maybe I can come out of retirement, maybe, right? But, you know, I don't know how good that would be right now. I hadn't been running pretty often. But anyway, so my thing is that, you know, those things are out of my hands. You know, I just know that it's a great feeling to be mentioned in the conversations of that. And if it happens, you know, I'll be, you know, to the moon and back.
We got a really, really strong case right out of the chute coming up next year. Dwight Freeney joining us this here on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. I mentioned this off the top. The Colts today taking on the Jaguars with a chance to win and clinch a playoff spot. The big story this year has been Jonathan Taylor. He's been such a dominant force on the ground. What have you observed from JT in that Colts offense with the rushing attack this year?
Well, they finally got back to who they should be in their identity. And I think they lost it a little bit, you know, when they were going through a lot of those losses in the beginning. And I've been saying this, you know, I think in Indianapolis you're used to Peyton, right? You're used to the offense. You're used to the quarterback throwing 40 times a game and gunslinging, especially this league being such a dominant passing league. It's so hard. It's like that cheese that's sitting right in front of you, you know, but you don't know it's sitting on a trap, you know, and it's kind of like you really want to get that cheese. You really, the cheese is sitting right in front of you, and then you get it, and then you get whacked by that trap. And it's the same thing that happened with Indianapolis. But they got back to their identity, and that's running the ball. They have a dominant offensive line. They have a young guy in Jonathan Taylor who can do it all, okay? What I mean by that is he can be a patient runner. He can be a power back. He can make you miss, and he can turn the burners on. And if you can have all those four types of things, you can have something special, and I think we have something special.
Don't think anybody wants to face that running attack and Jonathan Taylor in the playoffs. I'll tell you that much right now. They beat the Patriots. They've had a couple of really good efforts in a row. So it's going to be a fascinating team if they make the postseason. Dwight Freeney joining us here on the show, a Super Bowl champion, a 7-time Pro Bowler, a member of the All-Decade team of the 2000s, and a Colts Ring of Honor honoree. Dwight, it is really phenomenal to catch up with you, man. Thanks so much for taking time out. And like I said, it was thrill of mine to call your games at SU, so always a thrill to talk to you as well here on the show. I appreciate it.
There's no problem, man. You take care of yourself.
Excellent. You too. Dwight Freeney joining us this morning here on Sunday Morning Football. Really interesting stuff about Jim Caldwell as well, huh? That was a good point that he made about going 2-14 with the Indianapolis Colts in his final season, and yet they had no preseason, had no offseason because of the lockout. And a year they were transitioning away from Peyton Manning on the fly because Peyton was injured for the entire year. And so how can you really blame Caldwell for that? And then he goes to a pair of postseasons in Detroit, really good conversation with Dwight Freeney and something to think about in terms of Caldwell's potential for his next head coaching job if he does ever get another one. Coming up here next, we've got Excessive Celebration, your best play-by-play calls of this week. Because the bowl season is wrapping up, we've got some NFL cuts to get to, including from yesterday's Cowboys dominant win over an Eagles squad that sat most of its starters, and an FCS championship. That's coming up here next on Sunday Morning Football on CBS Sports Radio. DA with you, but standing by right now with our headlines this morning, here's Erica Herskowitz.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at LinkedIn.com/decide. That's LinkedIn.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You have a reservation for year-round excitement with CBS Sports. Your ticket to action.
It's Sunday Morning Football with DA.
And if you ever miss any part of Sunday Morning Football or want to hear it again, it's always available in podcast form. Just simply search The DA Show, and Sunday Morning Football is available there. It's DA On Demand each and every week following our Sunday Morning Football episode, 10 until noon Eastern Time, 7 until 9 Pacific. Thanks so much for being with us each and every Sunday right through Super Bowl Sunday. Next week, we'll have Wild Card Saturday to break down and Wild Card Sunday and Monday to break down as well. We'll carry that right through the end of the Super Bowl run. And, of course, on Monday night, tomorrow night, we've got a national championship game to break down as well. So you can tune in on Tuesday morning's DA Show, 6 until 10 Eastern Time on many of these same CBS Sports Radio affiliates for First in the Morning recap and breakdown and analysis of Alabama versus Georgia. One of our favorite segments each and every week, as I always say, is this next one. Let's dial up some awesome play-by-play calls. It's Excessive Celebration.
And it's intercepted. It is picked off down the left side. He goes to the 40, the 30, the 20, the 10, the 5. Touchdown!
The soundtrack of the NFL.
It's a floater downfield. Intercepted at the 35-yard.
The radio team going berserk.
How in the world did he throw that ball down there and get that out of the touchdown?
Here's Excessive Celebration.
He is in! Touchdown!
So now that the college football bowl season is wrapping up, we mix in a bunch of NFL clips as well to Excessive Celebration. Although today, we begin with a college football clip. Yesterday, FCS championship game. North Dakota State versus Montana State in Frisco, Texas for the FCS championship. And once again, North Dakota State's Bison are thoroughly dominant and rumble away with a victory.
Zone read the give. Colby picking his way forward. Big burst. A burst throw in the open field. Midfield. Near numbers. 40. 30. A foot race. 20. 10. Trot in there, baby! 77 yards and a house call. Big play alert. Colby. 20-0. Bison.
North Dakota State Radio on the call. It was a runaway. It was a beatdown. It was 35-0 at one point in time. And Montana State had come into its first title game since 1984, dominating the competition. They were the 8th seed, but had won their first three playoff games by 2 touchdowns or more. But that stopped yesterday as the Bobcats trailed the Bison 35-0 at one point in time. They end up losing 38-10. How about this? North Dakota State has won 9 national championships in 11 seasons. 9 national championships in 11 seasons. You think there's lack of parity in the FBS? You think that it's always Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, etc.? How about FCS? Imagine Alabama winning 9 of 11 national titles. That's what North Dakota State has done. Congratulations. What a power program, and they continue to roll. Yesterday in Denver, it was the Kansas City Chiefs with a victory to sew up their season. The Broncos were already eliminated in the 28-24 loss, however. The Chiefs keep alive their hope for a number one seed. The loss ultimately leads to Vic Fangio being fired, as the Broncos announced this morning. Fangio is out. That's back-to-back last place finishes in the AFC West. Even though his quarterback, Drew Lock, scrambled for a pair of touchdowns, including this one.
Lock faces 5-man pressure. Steps up, can run if he wants to, and does. Inside the 20, inside the 15, inside the 10, inside the 5. Touchdown, Denver! Drew Lock doing his best impersonation of Marlon Briscoe. 23 yards on the run. And for those not old enough to remember who Marlon Briscoe is, go look it up.
Briscoe was an elite scrambling quarterback back in the 60s and 70s for the Denver Broncos. But that was it for Drew Lock and company. Couldn't get it done through the air. Broncos Radio Network on the call as Denver falls to 7-10 on the season. As I mentioned, Vic Fangio is out. Drew Lock insists, hey, I can run any play you want me to run, except the last 3 games he started because of Teddy Bridgewater's concussion. He threw 1 touchdown. 1 in 3 games. No, he ain't the future. He's been given a shot and he ain't it. And finally, yesterday, the Cowboys and the Eagles from Philadelphia, and the Cowboys go up 50-20 on this touchdown run.
Here comes 3rd down at the Philadelphia 22. Rush in the gun. He'll give it a Hardy on a draw up the middle of the 15 to the 10. Keeps his feet 5. Jaquan Hardy, you get a touchdown. Stop the insanity.
Brad Sham on Cowboys Radio. You get a touchdown. You get a touchdown. To the Cowboys put up a 50 spot in Philadelphia yesterday, and that's your excessive celebration. More on that Cowboys win coming up here at the top of the hour. But just a point on Drew Lock. I think Vic Fangio deserves to be fired. I think Fangio seems limited as a head coach. And yes, there's some foundational pieces there. And yes, from a quarterback standpoint, he was never given an elite QB. It was Teddy Bridgewater, Drew Lock, and the list of kind of mediocre guys have gone on and on and on. However, I don't think you could look at Vic Fangio and feel as though he was able to elevate that organization or that locker room. I think there's a better option for the Broncos out there, and I would have done the same thing. There's more talent than a 7-10 record would have you believe in Denver. When we come back here on the show, speaking of, we'll talk about the Cowboys' big victory yesterday. The Titans trying to steal themselves for a number one seed victory today. And Baker,
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.